Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Thursday, April 21st, 2016. We're continuing with day four of our coverage of our 20th anniversary celebration, as recorded at Lincoln Square Mall, where 1,000 of us gathered and celebrated all that God has done with this radio ministry and continues to do. And it looks like you're going to be able to hear the entire program from beginning to end, as on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, you heard the opening remarks, songs by the singing men of GNN, and yesterday you heard from the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, along with comments by Phil Shepard of the Moody Broadcasting Network, and yours truly. Well, today and tomorrow, you're going to hear Dr. Erwin Lutzer's message in its entirety. He's the senior pastor of the Moody Church in Chicago, host of Running the Wind and the Moody Church Hour, a prolific author and speaker, and he'll be sharing a powerful message on how do we as Christians withstand the pressure of the state becoming God. And he'll talk about the importance of the promises of God, the providence of God, and the presence of God. So for the next 20 or so minutes, you'll hear primarily from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, after Phil Shepard introduces him and gives him a very special gift that we had matted and framed. And I think you'll get a real kick out of Dr. Erwin Lutzer's humor and a special greeting he does from Billy Graham. Here's Phil Shepard on today, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends.
I would like to, at this time, present our speaker for this evening. Dr. Erwin Lutzer is the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago, and no stranger to you if you listen to either WGNJ at 89.3 or WGNN at 102.5. WGNN every morning at 8:30 carries Running to Win, and the Moody Church Hour airs at 9 a.m. on WGNJ 89.3. And then if you miss it, you can go to 102.5 and you can hear Moody Church Hour at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning. Dr. Lutzer, I talked to Dr. George Sweeting yesterday on the phone, and he shared with great joy your coming to Moody Church. In fact, he had to give up a professor at Moody Bible Institute so Moody Church could have a new pastor, and he never regretted that. He spoke highly of Mrs. Lutzer, and I thought it was just very fitting. I said, you know, I'm going to be introducing him tomorrow night in Champaign, and he was just so pleased. Dr. Lutzer, please come up. We'd like to hear a message from you. Dr. Lutzer, pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. I have benefited greatly from a book that actually came out in 2015. It's called He Will Be the Preacher, the autobiography of Erwin Lutzer. And I can tell you many things that the book communicated to me, and truly inspirational. But one of them that stood out was the fact that a prayer in the morning time before getting out of bed and saying, Lord, I want to glorify you. And I want to glorify you even at my own expense, or if it costs me something. And Dr. Lutzer, that has meant a lot to me. He also says in the book of the great influence of Dr. Billy Graham, early in his life as a young man, and I was in the 1957 Crusades, maybe, but you were just a very young man. But as a gift of appreciation, we would like to give you something. And it comes from the 1950s Crusades. And this is a souvenir edition of the music handout, How Great Thou Art. And it's framed, and it's a gift to you. Now, it's got some writing on it. In fact, it's got the signature. There's three pictures of George Beverly Shea, Billy Graham, and Cliff Barrels on it. And this is a gift to you, and appreciation and love. And each of those men signed that after their 90th birthday. So thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Well, what a delight it is to be here today, and I can bring you greetings from the city of Chicago, the city of righteousness, love, truth, and justice. In Champaign, but in Chicago it can get mighty cold. Not this last winter because it was relatively warm, but the preceding winter, I think it was January the 19th, it was so cold that according to the media, some of our politicians were actually seen with their hands in their own pockets. tell you, it gets cold in Chicago. We live in a political year. Isn't this an unbelievable year? A couple of months ago, when Hillary Clinton was in Iowa, she went to an old folks home, I guess that's okay to call it, a retirement center, to showcase her concern for the elderly. And she sat down beside an old man on a bench, and she said to him, "Do you know who I am?" And he said, "No," he said, "but if you go over to the desk, they'll tell you." You know, I don't know Mark Burns very well. I'm just getting to know him. And one thing about him, it's so obvious, he's a people person. Where are you, Mark? You know, I read your bio and I discovered that you worked in Jewel Store when you were in college. He worked in Jewel Store, and this is what happened. There was a woman who came in, and she wanted to buy a half head of cabbage. And Mark didn't want to sell it to her. They got into an argument. And so he decided to walk into the manager's office and said, "You know, there's a crabby old bag out there that wants to buy a half head of cabbage." And just then he noticed that she had walked into the room with him and was standing right beside him. And so he turned to her and said, "And this charming woman would like to buy the other half." And I do need to say that with regard to radio, I'll say a word about that in a moment. I am going to just highlight two books. We have a lot more titles than that, but The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. Do you have a copy of that, Mark? You do. God bless you. I was going to give it to you free, but this is one of my most important books on Islam.
Amen.
And I hope that you take the opportunity to get a copy and read it. Pass it around. And then my latest book, which is really going to be out on May 1st, Rescuing the Gospel, the Story of the Protestant Reformation. Now, I'm going to throw in this plug, okay, that in June, the first 2 weeks of June, I'm leading another tour to the sites of the Reformation. I lecture all the Luther sites, and then we go to Hitler sites in Vienna and so forth, or I should say in Munich. And what you do is you go to moodymedia.org. Last day of registration is the 12th day of April, so go. But this, we have some copies of Rescuing the Gospel. You don't have that one. Okay, there you go. Now, a word about your radio station, and Billy Graham was referenced. I didn't know that you were going to give me something actually signed by Billy. When I was growing up, my generation of teenagers was into Elvis, and I was into Billy, and I think, you know, I made the better choice, personally. So what I'd like to do is to bring you some greetings for the radio station from Billy Graham, and we don't have much time, so I'm just going to begin in the middle of the sentence and see how this comes out. "As I've traveled around the world, I've met scores of young people influenced by this station founded so many years ago. I believe that in this day of intellectual, moral, and spiritual confusion, it can have an impact upon the thinking of the entire world. Now, in another time, I'm going to ask you to come, hundreds of you. You simply get out of your seats, and I want you to come. And for those of you who have joined us tonight by television, we'd like to send you some literature. We'd like to send you a book that has been a blessing to tens of thousands of people around the world, written by Pastor Lutza. Minnesota. That's all the address you need, just Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now until the same time next week, goodbye, and may the Lord bless you real good." I am taking my wristwatch off. There was a guy who was in a service, and he got up and left. And the pastor pointed him out and said, "Why are you leaving?" Which is what I'd do if you were to leave tonight. And the guy said, "I'm going to get a haircut." And the pastor said, "Why did you get a haircut before you came in here?" He said, when I came in here, I didn't need one. Now I want to say a word about your radio station. I'll just simply tell you this, Mark, that for every blessing you hear about and for every story, there are 100 more that you haven't heard about.
Amen.
That's been my experience.
Amen.
So for those of you who support this radio station, I just want to say that your investment is well placed, because it's going into homes and businesses and cars and offices that you'll never hear about. You'll never hear about, but its impact is huge. And when it comes time to speak about the history of evangelicalism in America, it has to include the power of Christian radio. Tonight, for a few moments, and I'm not going to keep you very long, like Henry VIII said to his fourth wife, don't worry, dear, I'm not going to keep you very long. To speak to you tonight on the topic, and this emphasizes why we need Christian radio. I'd like to speak to you today on the topic of when the state becomes God. When the state becomes God. Throughout history, as you know, there's been a lot of controversy between church and state. And in the early days of the church, in the early days of Rome, indeed, the state became God. You had to worship Caesar. And in many instances, if you didn't, you'd be put to death. During medieval times, you found out that the state was supposed to do whatever the church wanted the state to do, and there was no freedom of religion back there either. When Luther made his famous declaration, "My conscience is taken captive by the word of God," he was standing against 1,000 years of church history, and it is his courage that planted a small seed that eventually, in the Peace of Westphalia in 1648, resulted in freedom of religion for Europe. And I need to say that what we have here in the United States today is an anomaly. This is not the way it has been for 2,000 years of church history. Most of the time, the church has always been oppressed by the state, and the state has taken over the role of God. Many of you know, you've read my book entitled Hitler's Cross. I think we have some copies there. And then another book on 7 Lessons We Must Learn from Nazi Germany. Certainly during that period of time, what you found was that the state gobbled up all human rights, and the state took the role of God. How does that happen? Tonight I want us to think about a passage of Scripture that I'm not going to ask you to turn to because it can easily be summarized. But it's in the 3rd chapter of the book of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image that is 90 feet high. 90 feet high, and then he says to everyone, when the music begins, I want all of you to bow down and to worship the image. And the music began, and there were 3 who didn't. Shake the bed, make the bed, and into bed you go. Lady, I'm going to have to charge you an entertainment tax. And these 3 refused to bow down to the image, and the king said, you know, maybe you didn't get the memo. So this is in the 3rd chapter of Daniel. He calls them in and says, maybe you didn't get the memo. We're going to give you another chance. When the music begins, he said, I want all of you to bow down and worship the image. And if not, you are going to be thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, this is exactly the way in which the state becomes God. It becomes God through laws. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, this is the law of the land. Whatever I say that a law is, that's what it is. And this is the law of the land. And if you don't bow down, a very harsh penalty. You're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's the way in which the state is. Huge. You know, somebody gave me the other day a law in New York. We hear from time to time about such things as New York values. A law in New York. And I read it with my own 2 eyes, that said that if you have a transgender person who is living and renting from you, and he is a man, even though he was born a woman, and you continue to call him a man, or you continue to call him a woman, even though he wants to be known as a man, or the other way, you can be fined up to $250,000 for disrespecting him this way. Huge fines as the state begins to gobble up freedoms. Now, I could give you many other examples, but here's what I want us to point out. These three men were thrown into the fiery furnace, but I want us to notice that there were three different convictions they had. A few of you are taking notes. If you take notes here, of course, you will have a crown in heaven that will be so heavy that your head will be tilted. What conviction should we be instilling in our children so that in the midst of this new cultural pressure, and when the legal system is being used against us, and someone has well said, show me your laws and I will show you your God. If the Supreme Court of the United States has no law above itself, except itself, it becomes God. If you as an individual have no law above yourself and you're your own law, you are your own God. And so the question before us is simply this: how do we withstand this pressure? And I'm going to give some suggestions to you parents and you grandparents in just a few moments. The first conviction we have to have is these men depended on the promises of God. The promises of God. Now, you know, we live by promises. We don't live by explanations. You know that as Christians. Because there's so much in the world that we cannot explain. God oftentimes is mysterious, but he's given us promises, and we live by those. And perhaps some of those men read the promise in Isaiah that when you walk through the fire, I'll be with you and you'll not be burned. By the way, that promise is not true in the lives of all individuals at all. God is speaking nationally. Even if the nation goes through the fire, there's always going to be a remnant. Because throughout history, there have been many people who have been thrown into the flames and have been burned for their faith. But they believed in the promises of God. Psalm 73, perhaps, whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon the earth that I desire except thee. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. They had plenty of different promises in the Old Testament to believe. So we need to instill in our own children the trustworthiness of God's promises. Second, the trustworthiness of God's providence. Now, this is absolutely critical. These men, when Nebuchadnezzar calls them in, they say this: we believe, O God, that the Lord God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, and he will deliver us. But if not, this is one of the greatest expressions of faith in all the Bible. But if he doesn't, let it be known unto you, O King, that we will not bow down and will not worship this man. Praise God. For some people who say that their convictions are non-negotiable. Now, of course, God could deliver them, and in the end he did. But you and I have to realize that when they were being brought before the king, they did not have full, total assurance that they were going to be spared. That's what happened, but they didn't know it in advance. Blessed is the person who says this: now, I believe that the Lord is able to deliver this young mother from cancer. And possibly we can even believe that he will deliver her. But if he doesn't, we will not swerve in our commitment to Almighty God. We will continue to believe no matter what. Blessed is the person who says that. Understood why it is so hard to believe God, and it's hard to believe and trust in God. And the reason is because of the unpredictability of God. You have no idea what God is going to do. But spiritual maturity happens when you and I begin to be convinced that regardless of our inability to see around corners and know what God is going to do, we're going to believe in him anyway because we're going to trust his providence. Amen. I'll tell you this. You've had this experience too, I'm sure, that you've tried to read a letter through the envelope. But what we find is this, that you and I cannot read God's purposes through the envelope. We simply cannot understand God. You know, my wife and I often think about this. We think of the young people who die, young mothers dying of cancer. So happens that my father died at 106 and my mother at 103. They thought God had lost their address. One of the things, though, that was really true in the last 10, 15 years, they had no peer pressure. In fact, my parents lived so long that I'm sure until my father died, all of their friends in heaven thought that they just didn't make it. But Rebecca and I have often thought, why is it that my dear parents who loved God so much and so longed for heaven lived year after year and decade after decade, whereas sometimes a young father or a young mother or a young child dies? We don't understand. But blessed are those who say, we do not understand, but we go on believing.
Amen.
And so they believed also in the providence of God. And then very quickly, they believed in the presence of God. And God walked with them. And these three men, you know the story. They turned out to be the asbestos kids. Because no matter how hot the fire began and continued, they survived. And the fourth man walked among them. Praise God for the fourth man.
Amen.
I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Did you know that in the Greek text, in that verse of scripture from the book of Hebrews, there are five negatives? We could translate it rather clumsily this way. I will no not leave you, and I will no not leave you. God says five times, never, 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 never. I'll walk with you through the fire.
Amen.
And that's what they believed, and God was true to his promises. Now, I want to bring this down to where we live and to our present situation in the great United States of America. Let me give you four or five truths that I hope will be transforming. I want you to hang on to these, because as our culture begins to slide into darkness, we need to be reminded of some basics.
Well, I'm going to jump in here. Tomorrow you'll hear those four transforming truths, but a quick recap. How do we as Christians withstand the pressure of the state becoming God? Well, we need to depend and believe on the promises of God. We need to remember and focus on the trustworthiness of God's providence and believe in the presence of God, that he will take us through everything. Wow, what a great message by Dr. Erwin Lutzer, and it'll continue tomorrow on the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, along with Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday's coverage of our historic 20th anniversary celebration, which includes worship by the Singing Men of GNN, a drama and skit by the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, and some history and background on how God has raised up this radio ministry, and he continues to provide for it through you, our Great News Radio listening family. Now, before I close out here, I hope many of you are going to come to Lincoln Square Mall this Saturday between the hours of noon and 4 p.m. for a special meet and greet, receive and record, as we'll have Great News Radio tote bags to give away, yard signs, various coupons and other items. And if you'd like to record a radio announcement, I'll have my equipment. So come on out and enjoy some great desserts and fellowship this Saturday, Lincoln Square Mall, at the old Brownfield Sports location between the hours of noon and 4 p.m. How about writing us today and tell us what you thought about this week's broadcasts, which are all archived at greatnewsradio.org if you missed a portion, or you want to email it to a friend so they can listen. But write us and tell us your thoughts on this week's broadcast at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.